sing your praise.
Lord, I love to sing your praise.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I lift your name on.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Well, good morning, everyone. All four of us here today. We were wondering how many would make it. We may see a trickle, and that's good. It's a bit chilly out. My brother is down from, you can have a seat, sorry. My brother is down from Wisconsin, and he kind of was chuckling. He's like, this is how it is every day for us, you know, so it's just a matter of perspective, right? He's like, we don't see the grass until March, so I wanted to start us off with Psalm 2 today, and we're talking, and we're going through a series in Hebrews, and we're talking about Jesus, and we're in Hebrews 7, but I think this gives us a picture of Christ as King. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. I love that last line. The first part of it is a little frightening, but it ends with this thought. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. He is able to protect us. He is able to defeat the enemy. He is able. And if we take refuge in him, we are blessed. So as we're coming in worship today, I hope you can lay aside the burdens of this week, anything that might be distracting you as you come this morning, and that you can just come into the Lord's presence and worship. Morning. So let's stand and worship together.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship.
sing in honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue on heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue on heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare with your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days, for none can compare with your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue on heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship you. Be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days.
Amen. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, you got it. Good job.
All I once held dear, build my life up.
song about, right, for worship. I know it's in here more than once. My husband found one of the times that it's in there for me, and I really appreciated it. But I think it's in more. So if you find it, let me know. But Psalm 22, verse 3, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." So the Lord is enthroned on our worship. So we build his throne by praising him. I heard another preacher one time put it like, let us build a big comfy couch for the Lord to sit on with our worship. Okay? So that's what we're going to do next. We're going to build a big comfy couch for the Lord to sit on with our worship. So here we go. Let's do this song. My apologies to you, to those of you who may not know this really old song.
Join with hosts of angels to
there's things that we run after that we think are going to give us happiness, that we think is going to give us fulfillment, joy, life. And Jesus is better than that. So that what this reminds us of, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, that he is a better hope, a better covenant than anything else that we could run to. So I hope that as we'll take a moment here in prayer, this is a good time in communion to just ask the Lord, is there anything I'm putting up in my life above you, anything that I've made an idol of in my life that needs to come down, that you need to be in that place? So let's just spend a few moments just asking the Lord to shine his spotlight over our lives. And he wants to maybe reveal those areas in our life so that we can put him in that right place and not be running after those other things. So just take a few moments asking God to do that. For those that might be new to us, but the way we do communion here is we come up row by row and just come and get the bread and the cup, and then you come go back around and file back to your seat. This is welcome to all baptized believers, so you don't have to be a member of Grace Fellowship. Everyone is welcome as long as you call Jesus Lord and Savior. So just like to invite people to come. We'll start with the front and then make our way to the back. And the body and bread of the Lord, the table of the Lord is open.
You get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the
share, so I'm like, oh, yeah. So thank you, Laura. I'm sure no one ever feels that way here, right? No one was grumpy at all today. You all were just super pumped, you know. But one thing I've noticed is interesting is often when I have the most excuses to not go to church or the most desire to not go to church is if I will push through that and go, there's a treasure. There's a blessing. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, and at the end of it, I find that treasure and I go, it was worth it. It was worth it. And like Laura was saying, I'll be like, I'm sorry, God. You know, I thought this or that was better, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. So it's good he is patient and kind with us. He wants to give us those treasures. So thank you, Laura. Well, we're going to just move to the time of offering. This opportunity just to give towards the work of God. There's also these baskets you can put the communion cups in. So the square ones. If those who are collecting offering come forward. Appreciate that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just blessing us. And we have some to share. And we do so gladly and with joy. And we ask that you would use it to bless others. Use it for your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got couple birthdays coming up here. Today is Rochelle Coleman, so I don't know if Rochelle's here, but happy birthday, Rochelle. And we have coming up on the 18th, Janet Adelam, Sheila Burkhart, and Angel Vega. Do you ever get together with your birthday buddies? You should. You guys should all have a ya-ya sisterhood or something. That would be great. So be sure to wish them all a happy birthday this week. It's funny. I always say you're 29. Jadea got me a mug for Christmas that says 29 and counting. So it was funny. So you might notice the lost and found. I think it got positioned between the doors, so you almost trip on it on your way out. So if your kids left something or you left something, that's going to go away after this week. So maybe just take a minute to look through it. If you see something good, maybe grab it. but please empty it. It's going to go to Goodwill here very soon. We're also having Connect this week, both adult, teens, and kids Connect. So you might see those slides going back and forth. For the adult Connect, Mary Ray and Greg, but Mary Ray mostly, has been leading that this month. And so that is exciting. And we're digging through the Old Testament. I think they're in Leviticus. And you might not have thought, wow, Leviticus, I think I'll pass this week. But it's pretty good, right? Judy, have you been enjoying it? And what's funny is we've been going through Leviticus, and we're now talking about Hebrews. There's so much background in Leviticus for Hebrews, it's ridiculous. So be sure to check that out. And the teens, we're going through a study on grace. And the guy's last name is hard to pronounce. I see Oliver nodding. He's like, yeah. But I feel like it's been a good study for us, so be sure to check those out in the kids as well. We have an annual church meeting most often at the end of January, and so that is going to be the 28th, that Sunday evening from 6:30 to 8. It's a chance for us just to kind of talk about how did last year go, what's this next year look like, anything, questions and all. So those are good opportunities for you to have any questions answered, and we can also be talking about some of the thoughts for the future. All right, so I think that's it for announcement.
Interesting. If you were looking at the schedule, Sunday school, yes, Bob. Very good, thank you. Kids, fifth grade and under, please go up to Sunday school, have your adult that was with you take you up there, sign you in. This just illustrates the point. So it's funny. I get some of those Sundays where I'm off. You know, I'm not doing service leader. I'm not preaching. This was one of those. Did you know that? But it's not. Jadea got sick, and then I was in here, and Jerry's like, I'm feeling lightheaded. I was like, you know what, Jerry? Go home and rest. So I was grateful. Andy kind of was joking with me. He's like, Eric, I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm like, no, I'm not playing guitar. Sorry. do, but not for Hebrews 7, unfortunately. But that is where we're at on the schedule. And so spend some time with this, and there is a lot of good stuff here. And I've been getting ready for Hebrews 7, 10, 11 through 22, but not this passage. But this one does set a nice prelude for it. One thing you'll notice in this passage, have you ever heard the phrase, Scripture interpreting Scripture? Has anyone ever heard that? What does that mean? Scripture interpreting Scripture. Yeah, yeah. So, in this passage in Hebrews is very interesting. It's like a triple level. So, does anybody remember, where does Genesis talk about Melchizedek? Anyone got those chapters and verses down? This is one of those Bible trivia. Anyone have one of those Bible trivia games? This is one of those. Genesis 14, I believe it's 17 through 20. Abraham goes and rescues, I believe it's Lot from, is that the one where he rescues Lot? I think. And they come back. He only had like 400 guys, and he took out like three kings. I'm not sure how much they have. It said they had armies. 400 doesn't seem like a lot. But he's coming back with all these spoils. And Melchizedek, it says, king of Salem, and priest, comes out to greet him, and Abraham gives him a tithe, and Melchizedek blesses him. So that's this very short passage. And then Psalms 110 speaks about that passage and ties it into a messianic idea. And then Hebrews then speaks about Psalm 110 and talks about Melchizedek. So there's three levels of interpretation. And you know, it's really fun for those of you that enjoy Bible study. Cross-references are a great thing. Do you have that in your Bible? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say cross-references? Often in the margin, next to the verse, you might see it has other verses listed. And that is a great help often for doing that scripture, interpreting scripture. There's many times in the New Testament where it'll actually quote or allude to or use similar phrases from an Old Testament passage. So they're interpreting that passage. So what do you want to do when that's happening? Look it up. Go back to that Old Testament passage and look at the context of it as well. And think about, how is this passage in the New Testament phrasing this or using this? And it might be slightly different than you thought. So that's where it's really fun to use Scripture, interpreting Scripture. And any of you can do that. You don't have to know the original Hebrew. You don't have to know the original Greek. Most study Bibles will have cross-references. So that's just a little aside of the sermon. But I think what this passage does is it shows us a writer of Scripture doing that. Scripture interpreting Scripture, interpreting Scripture. Now, we aren't the writer of Hebrews, and so it's tough for us. We don't want to do it exactly the way the writer of Hebrews did. But we can look at when Scripture is talking about Scripture. And what it's doing here in chapter 7 is using typology. So I'm using lots of big words. But this is good for you in your Bible study. So hopefully you're hanging with me. How is typology, what is typology? Anybody know? Marilyn, I see you nodding. It's not always a one-for-one, but there's alluding to it's a type, right? So we're going to be seeing, what is Melchizedek a type of, all right? Some might have said that he is a theophany or a Christophany. We're using tons of big words today, I'm sorry. So write those down. I always joke, Hannah's not here today, but lately I've been using words with Hannah, and she's like, well, what's that mean, Pastor Eric? And I'm so grateful she's willing to just come back at me with that. And it's good. So she learned some new words. Maybe you are as well. So a theophany is an appearance of God in the Old Testament. Can you think of some theophanies? What are some theophanies that you're aware of? What? Burning bush. All right. A what? Yeah. So where do we see maybe an actual person appearing that's God? Fourth man in the fire. Yeah, yeah. And it was interesting. chapter 7, if you want to turn there. Mitch talked last week from 6. And if I, I was spending this morning kind of looking at this, what is the gist of this? What jumps out at me as I read this? And I really think as it illustrates in chapter 7, verses 1 through 11, really focuses in on Melchizedek being both a king and a priest. And what is he king of? King of Salem. King of peace. And it says king of righteousness. So this is pointing us to Christ, of which Melchizedek is a type. So the idea here is worship Jesus, the true king and true priest. Worship Jesus, the true king and true priest. And so Andy Anschutz is going to come up. He's going to read for us this 7, 1 through 11. Thanks, Andy.
The digital version of the ESV. Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. For this Melchizedek, a king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. And those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him.
This idea of worshiping Jesus, the true king and true priest. There are three emphases that I see. First, worship Jesus, the true king. Second, worship Jesus, the true priest. And third, model Jesus, the true king and priest, in your service of him. So, what we're seeing here, and I'll give some credit. Who am I going to give credit to, probably? Tim Keller, right? So I looked at Tim Keller a little bit. I like Tim. And he had a good point on this. He was saying one of the things that you don't always notice is we think of priest and king together, but think about those two roles. Do those ever in history go in one person? They're not compatible roles. So the king is representing God to us often, but the priest is representing us to God. Think about that. The king often represents God to us. The priest represents us to God. So how could one person do that? And outside of even Christianity, look at that, how often that confusion happens. Like in Egypt, they would regard the king almost as a deity. In Rome, they regard Caesar as a deity. So it happens over and over outside of even Christianity. And in Jewish religion, they didn't regard the king as God, but the king represented God's justice, God's strength, God's authority. But the priest, on the other hand, is representing us to God, interceding for us, sacrificing for us, bringing us close to God. So they're kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum. And one thing he was pointing out is that sometimes we tend to go either towards worshiping Jesus as king, but we forget priest role, or we go only towards priest and don't really think of him as king. So one other way you might think of it, we think of him as savior, and our theology. It affects how we relate to Jesus. So I thought that's a really interesting thought to think about. And I would love for you just, you know, often after this we go into what we call Circle Church. And there's a group that meets in the gallery here, in the church, up in the lobby, in the kitchen, in the lobby and in the multipurpose room during Sunday school. And we'll process this. But in what way do you think you tend to go? Are you well-balanced in how you view Jesus? Do you go more towards king or priest? And what does that, how does that affect you? So this is a call to us, like, do we see him as both in that right perspective? So let's look at first the side of king. So, you know, Jesus makes claims that most Americans don't like. We want to be independent, make our own decisions, and yet be spiritual. Now, the more personalized you make God, is that possible? If God is a person, Jesus Christ, he makes demands of us, right? A person represents something. They say stuff. You can either agree or disagree. So what often do Americans want to do? We want the force. A depersonalized God that just kind of is out there, and we can kind of do whatever we want. We kind of discover truth ourselves. So we want to be spiritual without a personal God. And what does Jesus say? What are some of the scandalous things he says that really throw a wrench in that? I am the what? The way, the truth, the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Well, that's a person saying a thing, and if he is God and he's saying that, and you don't agree with that, what does that mean? You're disagreeing with God. And we don't like that as Americans. We kind of want to do our own thing, right? So we have a hard time maybe thinking of him as king. We want rather a little Jesus idol in our pocket that we can pull out when we get in trouble, that's going to help us plug the holes in our ship and keep it from sinking. Right? So we have a hard time thinking of him as king. We, as Americans, often really like the idea of a savior. He's going to rescue me, and then I get to do what I want. So, Jesus says king. I like how Keller puts this. He says, most Americans say, I have the right to choose how I want to live, but I want to be spiritual. How do you do that? Well, you depersonalize God. You believe in God, but you believe in a God who's a spiritual force and doesn't make any demands on you. The more personal God is, the more you have to deal with God's will. And the less personal he is, the more he is kind of a force of love and spiritual power and energy. The more impersonal he is, the more we can live any way we want. Don't have to deal with his will and never have to have him cross our will. From what I can tell, most Americans want to have some kind of idea of God, but they don't want a God like this. What Jesus is doing by saying, I am God, I've come to rule, I've come and you must bow to me and give yourself to me, that personalizes God in a very threatening way. And he writes there, there's some place where C.S. Lewis puts it like this, and boy does he put it well. He says, an impersonal God, well and good. A subjective God of beauty, truth, and goodness inside our own heads, better still. A formless life force surging through us, a vast power which we can tap, best of all. But God himself, alive, pulling at the other end of the cord, perhaps approaching at an infinite speed, the hunter, king, husband, that is quite another matter. Yes, it is. So this is the divine human king, and you and I cannot put him into a box. Another aspect there is as we think of him as prophet and king, it's a strong yet a weak king. Think about that. How did Jesus come into Jerusalem? On a donkey. Not even a full-grown donkey.
earth this week.